is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
It's 6 o'clock standard wartime on this pleasant Monday evening, August the 10th, 1942. Broadcasting from the KUWS radio studios in Superior, Wisconsin, the land of beautiful lakes. This is Jack McKenna speaking. Newsman Lou Martin is standing by with the latest war news and the first United States offensive action in the Pacific. Coming up, the Tri-State Fair opens its gates today. Now, Lou Martin with Gately's 6 o'clock news. Gately's in Duluth, Superior, and Virginia, urging everyone, every payday, to buy 10% in war bonds. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good evening, listeners. The American Expeditionary Force has landed on the Solomon Islands. Admiral Ernest King confirmed today that U.S. forces landed in the southeastern Solomon Islands, a little-known jungle area of the Pacific called Guadalcanal. Admiral King says heavy fighting is underway with losses on both sides. United Press Foreign Service reporter Daryl Berrigan with Allied Headquarters.
Australia calling, General MacArthur's headquarters, Australia calling, Daryl Berrigan reporting. The Battle of the Solomon Islands was developing Monday into a major offensive, which seemed likely to eclipse the defensive victories of Midway and the Coral Sea, as American-led forces kept up their blows by sea, air, and perhaps land against heavy Japanese opposition. In the extreme western Aleutians, a United States Naval Task Force operation against the Japanese seized outpost of Kiska appeared completed, its results still undisclosed. The latest word from Admiral Chester W. Nimitz, United States Naval Commander in the Pacific, indicated that the initiative still was firmly in the hands of the American fleet and other Allied forces as the Battle of the Solomons blazed into its fourth day. With the Allied headquarters in Australia, this is Daryl Berrigan reporting.
As we await word on the success or failure of this first offensive against the Empire of Japan, we do have word of a grave situation in Soviet Russia as Nazi forces continue to rout the Red Army. We have two reports on the war against Germany.
This is Moscow calling. This is Moscow. Eddie Gilmore reporting. Dispatches telling of tremendous explosions heard on the Caucasus front indicated Monday that the Russians, carrying out their scorched earth policy, were dynamiting the menacing Maokop oil fields toward the powerful German tank forces were smashing through sagging Red Army defenses. A Russian communique said the lines guarding the Volga held firm under assault northwest and southwest of Stalingrad, but acknowledged withdrawals close to the Maokop fields and the jutting spurs of the Caucasus foothills. The Russians fell back 80 miles northeast of Maokop after a fierce engagement. The Germans were reporting striving hard to advance. Another withdrawal was made under heavy German pressure 80 miles north of Maokop. The Germans, who have claimed the capture of Maokop and several other cities, said their forces thrust 175 miles southeast of the oil field center and seized that area. They claim to have reached the north slopes of the Caucasus Range along a 250-mile front. The Germans described Russian resistance on the Stalingrad front as desperate, but said the Russian army counterattacks were repulsed after bitter fighting. In Moscow, this is Eddie Gilmore reporting. Calling London. Come in, London.
This is London calling. Preston Grover speaking. British long-distance range bombers resuming a powerful offensive against war-industrialized Western Germany made a concentrated attack during the night on the great railroad and factory centers of Honersbruck. From well-informed statements, only a minute percentage of the planes engaged were lost, and the official admission that six of the great bombers were missing indicated that the raiding force had run well into Nazi Germany. Germany admitted that the several fires had been started, as usual, and residential quarters, while the British planes were attacking Honersbrook on the main Ruhr-Brennan-Hamburg Railroad and one of the two chief communication centers of all western Germany, smaller forces bombed other towns in northwestern Germany, and lighter crafts on the intruder operations struck at airfields in Holland and Belgium to keep the night fighters down. Fighter commander planes bombed docks at Le Havre on the occupied French coast. This is Preston Grover reporting for United Press Foreign Service.
From Bombay, Mohandas Gandhi appealed to the United States to recognize India as an independent nation free of British rule. Gandhi made the appeal to our friends in America as the All India Congress was about to meet. A campaign of mass civil disobedience is expected to begin when that Congress does meet. It's part of the non-violence effort to end British dominion in that area. Gately's News Time is 6:06. Now Jack McKenna with this important word from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. He gave more than 10%. Who gave more than 10%? Scarsdale Jack. That's what they call him when he was with the Flying Tigers. He isn't with them anymore. He had a lot to live for. Ask his father. Or ask the kids who knew him. His scout troop. Or his classmates at Rensselaer Polytechnic. Ask his widow, Scarsdale Jack Squadron Leader John V. Newkirk. On the Flying Tigers roster, he blasted 28 Japs out of the sky before they got him. He gave more than 10%, for sure. Have you given your 10% yet? Gately's in Duluth, Superior, and Virginia asks you to please give your 10% in war bonds to help us win this war, which we must win.
The fire that destroyed the Pinocchio veneer plant in Mellon last week could have been caused by sabotage. The campaign manager for the Republican gubernatorial candidate, Walter Murray, made that charge today. Former Lincoln County District Attorney Leonard Schmidt says, and we quote him now, "When a large plant working exclusively on material for airplane wings is burned to the ground at the exact moment when the least number of maintenance men are on the job, sensible citizens think of sabotage," unquote. Governor Julius Heil, running for re-election, says that Mr. Schmidt's allegations are irresponsible. The investigation of the fire of the Mellon veneer plant is continuing. 33 women arrested in vice raids in Hurley last week were fined in county court Saturday. Iron County Judge R.C. Trembath fined 16 women who pled guilty to solicitation for purposes of prostitution, $50 each. Another 17 women pled guilty to charges of being inmates of a house of ill fame. Judge Trembath fined them $15 each. State health authorities report two of the women are suffering from syphilis, and three others are being detained for more tests. The Hurley House of ill repute has been closed down. Sunday was a day for the people of Superior and Duluth will always remember as historic. Two ships built in Superior shipyards were launched yesterday. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson covered both events.
With colorful ceremony, Lou, the first ship was launched at the Globe Shipbuilding Company Sunday as the million-dollar ocean-going tug, the MV Point Sur, went down the ways. Thousands of guests within the yards and hundreds of other spectators lining the bay front and in cars parked along Bay Street watched the splash as the Point Sur, one of 10 such craft under contract at the Globe Shipyards, was floated. As whistles signaled that the ship was poised to hit the water, Mrs. Violet Nelson, wife of Globe President Victor Nelson, smashed a bottle of beer, symbolic of one of Superior's industries, over the bow of the Point Sur. Workmen at the Walter Butler Shipbuilding Shipyards began completion of the coastal cargo freighter William Bursley on Monday, following a launch of the vessel Sunday afternoon. The Bursley was sponsored by Mrs. John L. Banks, wife of the president of First National Bank. The ship was the third to slide down the runways of the Butler Yard under the contract, which calls for 18 to be delivered to the British under lend-lease terms. July 5th marked the first launching, the John Airy. It was followed July 26th by the Rodney Baxter. Ceremonies at the yard on Sunday were brief, but because of war restrictions, they were not open to the public, Lou.
Thank you, KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson. The Ardox and National have been going at a record rate this summer of 1942, trying to help meet the huge demand for steel in the war effort. Ore from the Gogebic mines in Michigan's Upper Peninsula have totaled more than 4 million tons through July. That's a 40% increase over last year's tonnage. Chicago and Northwestern and the Soo Line Railroads have been hauling the valuable material for shipment to the lower Great Lakes. So far, 402 freighters have loaded at the Ashland docks. Ashland County Board Chairman Frank Hill will convene its monthly meeting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And tomorrow night, Ashland Mayor Gus Johnson will preside over the City Council meeting at the City Hall. The Wisconsin Conservation Commission is conducting its first ever complete study of a river. And the river under scrutiny is the famous Brule River. Fish biologist John O'Donnell is leading a $9,000 study. His team is examining fish population on the Brule, as well as the health of these fish, the food they eat, erosion, long-term consequences of development around the Brule River. Already, Dr. O'Donnell says that he's starting to find what he calls ruthless cutting of trees in the Brule River Valley and the watershed. He says that it has hurt fish reproduction and caused the river water temperature to increase. He says this cutting must be contained, or the Brule will no longer be a good river for anglers. Brule Game League President Arthur Lenroot says he supports the study, and his committee will do all that it can to help.
You don't think that clearing some land will have an impact on the river? It's hard to believe that this river fished by President Coolidge in 1928 someday might not have any fish in it.
That's what the State Conservation Commission is trying to find out. Sometimes we can love a good thing to death.
Thanks, Lou Martin, with the 6 o'clock news. Now, friends, let's look at this fine forecast for this Monday evening, August 10th, 1942. The United States Weather Bureau says tonight's low will be around 60 degrees, with a high tomorrow of 80. Nothing like the good old summertime at the head of the lakes. Let's hear from Jimmy Dorsey in Darktown Strutter's Ball now, with June Richmond on the vocal, and you'll like her, on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Yes.
Hey, for your listening pleasure, that was June Richmond, Darktown Strutters Ball on station KUWS. Lou, that tri-state fair looks like it'll be a big one, even though it is the first summer of war for us.
Well, they sure haven't cut back, I'll tell you that. You should see all the stuff that they have. And the boss is thinking of sending one of us to the big show on Wednesday.
Me. I'll go.
Well, you know, you might want to find out what you have to do there, Jack.
I'd be eating turkey legs and pickled pig's feet and check out the shows, of course.
You might want to find out what the boss has in mind before you volunteer. He's got some ideas, you know.
Well, I suppose I'd have to shake hands and sign a few autographs, and the women will be asking, however, for your phone number.
No doubt. Just check before you volunteer.
Did you see the great music they've booked? Gay New Orleans will be playing. These gents are talented. A real fine colored review of singers, dancers, jitterbugs, comedians, and a big band. And Barn Dance Review. Cowboy singer Louis Lee and his band, too. Maybe they'll let me sing along when they do Home on the Range.
Maybe they'll let you call a barn dance.
Oh, can do. Hey, hey, and away we go, chicken in the bread pan, picking out the dough, swing your partner round and round, dipsy doodle and dipsy did. Well, anyway, fit and fiddle till you're a twiddle.
You made that up yourself. That's my guess.
Just now. Hey, let's stop a gabbin' and start a tappin' to the great big band sounds of Kate Kaiser and Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree. Round and round on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
He wrote his mother. His father, and now he's writing you too. He's sure of mother, he's sure of father, now he's gotta be sure of you.
Oh, listen to him sing. Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. No, no, no. Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Whoa, till I come marching home. And don't go walking down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. No, no, no. Don't go walking down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me. Whoa, till I come marching home.
I just got word from a guy who heard from the guy next door to me.
That the girl he met just loves to pet and attend you to a tee. So don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Whoa, till I come marching back home. The apple tree with anyone else but me. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Till he comes marching home to you.
Now don't you sit right down with anyone but me.
Under the apple tree.
Round and round she goes. Swing your partner to the flows of Kay Kaiser. Don't sit under the apple tree, indeed. On station KUWS.
That's good, Jack. You just keep practicing. Say we have a guest with us on the telephone from Hurley. It's our old friend, Hurley Mayor, Michael Manucci.
I'm on the radio right now, aren't I? Hello? Hello?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I can tell you're listening. You might want to turn your radio down.
Oh, What's that you say?
You might want to turn down your radio. Forget it.
That's pretty good, yeah. How's that?
You're calling because of that news story we had about the raid on Silver Street, aren't you, sir?
Well, we just want people to know that Hurley is a place where families can come and not worry about the bad influences of our colorful past. We have all kinds of great recreation, camping and swimming.
And drinking and gambling and visiting the madam's house.
Well, now, Jack, you know, you're one of my favorite people. I like you. You're a funny man. I never miss this show because I never know what you're going to say next.
I'm pretty confident that he doesn't know either, Mr. Mayor.
Yes. But Hurley isn't like its old, wild old days. That little fracas we had a week ago, it's just some boys and girls getting carried away.
53 arrests, charges of liquor violation, roughhousing, and prostitution. Hey, that's not your run-of-the-mill raid, sir. Silver Street is still a bit of the Old West.
Well, I'll grant you, Lou and Jack, that now some people might mistake the new Hurley for the old Hurley, but that's why we cracked down. We're not, no, sirree, we're not going to let this be a place where ladies and children can't have fun.
The new Hurley?
We've got new storefronts, a USO for sailors.
A jail for minors on payday.
I like you, Jack, sure I do. Just want to let all of our friends around the head of the lakes know that Hurley is the place to go. I'll just turn up my radio and listen in for the rest of the show, guys. Hey, how's that, huh?
Thank you, Hurley Mayor Michael Minucci.
There's a guy who should have his own radio show. On with the music, friends. Here's Al Boley of the new Mayfair Dance Orchestra with Dreaming on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
I'm dreaming after the long day is done. Memories of past happy hours bring hope of new joys to come. Dreaming of you in the firelight's glow. Sweetheart, I want you to always know. Each night I dream of you. Plans for the future dear, hoping to have and to hold you near. Partings will all be through. There in our little love nest, I'll be happy with you. I adore. Let what comes after bring sweet baby laughter and tiny feet pattering the floor. Dreaming of you all the long night through, counting the days till our schemes come true, sharing my dreams with you. To bring sweet baby laughter and tiny feet pattering the floor. I'm dreaming of you all the long night through, counting the days till our schemes come true, sharing my dreams with you.
For the good folks in Hurley, that was Al Boley in England with Dreaming on station KUWS.
You know, Jack, if you really do have your heart set on going to the Tri-State Fair on Wednesday and do some live reports for us from there, I won't step in your way.
Great. Hey, what's the catch?
Here's a list of things to do while you're at the fair for whoever goes to the station.
Well, let's see. Get pied by Kinko and Florence.
Those are the famous circus clowns.
Ride with the Daredevil Motorcycles Act in the Motordrome.
They go up and down the walls, straight up and down.
Has the boss gone crazy? He could pay me $2 an hour and I wouldn't do that.
Did you see the wild animal act stunt with the trainer Clyde Beatty?
Stick head in lion's mouth? What if he's in a bad mood?
He won't be all that bad. Although, you know, you do have a pretty big head.
Forget it. Maybe we can get somebody expendable to go. Get Mayor Bonacci back on the phone, and I'll spin another fantabulous swinging number, folks. Here's Glenn Miller with some gal in Kalamazoo on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
I got a gal
in Kalamazoo.
Don't want to boast, but I know she's a toast
of Kalamazoo, zoo, 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 zoo.
Years have gone by.
My, how she grew.
I liked her looks when I carried her books
in Kalamazoo, zoo, zoo, zoo.
I'm gonna send a wire, hopping on a plane,
leaving today.
Am I dreaming? I can hear screaming.
Hiya, Mr. Jackson, everything's okay. A-L-A-M-A-C-O. Oh, what a girl, a real pimperoo.
I'll make my bid for that freckle-faced kid I'm hurrying to.
I'm going to Michigan to see the sweetest girl
in Kalamazoo.
Zoo.
Do you like our music or what, huh? Glenn Miller, the gal in Kalamazoo. Maybe we could interest Mike Simonson to go to the fair Wednesday, Lou.
He's not expendable, Jack.
He's single. No dependents. I bet lions don't even find him tasty.
Maybe Ray would do it.
Ray Paulson?
Oh, I suppose you're right.
Ray's got that good combination of being chicken and smart. His mother didn't raise him to ride daredevil motorcycles and let clowns throw pies in his face.
Well, you know, actually, Ray likes clowns.
Yeah, you know, I think that's what he wants to do when he grows up.
Well, we'll think of something, Jack. Don't worry about going to the fair on Wednesday. Although, listeners, just in case, you'll want to tune in.
And I thought you were a true friend.
True blue, in fact, and not willing to take your place at the fair.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a wrap, friends, for this half hour of the Martin McKenna Show. Stay tuned for Kaltenborn Edits the News at 6. Cavalcade of America at 7. Voice of Firestone at 7:30. Dr. IQ at 8 o'clock. And Fibber McGee and Molly at 8:30. We'll be back same time, same place, for at least one more show. Good Lord willing, and the lion's got rubber teeth. For Lou and any kind soul out there who wants to volunteer, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
This is Radio Superior 1942, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. All events reported on Radio Superior 1942 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.